And if you would grab your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we'll be tonight. I did a little bit of this on Saturday for Harborfest and before heading out. And I was talking with someone last week, and they talked about all these programs, they talked about all these things, they talked about all these different ways and approaches and all this stuff, and I asked a pretty, what I would think would be a pretty basic question to a Bible believer. I said, how's the gospel? Yeah. Why don't we just do that? We get too complicated. I'm all for something that's going to, like, we have a Sunday school program. That's what we call it. But it just teaches the Bible, right? That's the goal of Sunday school, is to teach the Bible. We have youth group, and we have King's Kids, and we have King's Kids and Redeeming Hope, and we have ministries that reach out, and we do street preaching and visitation, all that stuff. Even in the nursery, the goal is, ultimately, it's the gospel. When we lose sight of that and we start doing a whole lot of other things, we will be in trouble.
Right.
And Paul makes this statement here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, he says a lot of things. We'll start in verse number 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. That's pretty rough. But Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he's going to finish out with, you see your calling, brethren, and he can contrast the wise and the foolish and all the things, and God calls the foolish things and so on. We look at this passage, and it starts off with contentions and problems and wanting them to have the same mind and the same judgment and to be perfectly joined together. And you know what unites us? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we meet together. That's why anything that happens with us, that's why we even socialize. Some of us would never socialize with anybody else in this room if it wasn't for Jesus Christ saving us.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even have met each other if it wasn't for Jesus Christ saving us and changing our lives. The one thing we all have in common is Jesus Christ. I would think the one thing, especially on a Wednesday night, we all have in common is that we're saved. We want Jesus Christ in our lives. We want to see Him work in. We want to worship Him. We love Him. We're encouraged by it. We want to be with Him. Like, it's all about Him. And I think Wednesday night crowd, that's kind of our goal, right? Is to have Jesus Christ the center of everything that we have and that we possess and that we think on. And that's why he says, hey, we're supposed to have the same mind and in the same judgment. And he starts bringing up, well, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ, you know, those super holy guys. I just follow Jesus. And that's the contrast he's made. He's like, man, you guys need to get rid of this stuff and focus on what our task has always been. And I just want to preach a little bit on that tonight and our task and what we need to do. And the some of it's the excuses we make and all that stuff. It's right here in the passage. We're going to stay right here for the most part and get some thoughts on it. Father, I thank you for the night. I thank you that you're a marvelous God. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt of all of our sins. And Lord, that you'd give us the free gift of eternal life. I thank you that we can, Lord, we can proclaim that. Lord, and we know we're going to heaven, not because of our own righteousness or our own goodness, but because there's a merciful, a holy, and a wonderful God who saved us so graciously and mercifully. Father, bless us tonight as we look at your word. I pray that you'd give me wisdom as I speak. Help me to say just what you once said and nothing more and nothing less, that you'd be pleased with everything that's done. I pray if someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night they'd call upon Jesus Christ. They'd hear about that gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, and they'd call upon you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be great proclaimers of what you have done for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice he kind of, you know, is pretty straightforward with them. He starts off real quick with, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. I'm real glad I wasn't responsible for any of you. That's kind of, you know, a little kick right there. But it's contrasted with, because Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I don't know what else it is that you like to do, even if it's for Christ, right? Baptizing somebody is not a bad thing. I do it. You know, Pastor Legault baptized, and we had missionary letters tonight talking about people getting baptized, and after they got saved, they got baptized. There's a lot of good things we can do, but that's not the main mission. Right. Oftentimes, we let other things distract us from the main goal of what we're asked to do. We've been asked not to go ahead and do all the extras all the time, but to focus on one thing. The extras come up. He did baptize some of them. Right? I mean, you got verse 14, you got Crispus and Gaius. Verse 16, the household of Stephanus. We know Paul baptized people. He did it. But that wasn't why he was supposed to be there. The Lord didn't leave us here to go ahead and build a good life. He didn't leave us here to go ahead and fix somebody else's problems. He didn't leave us here to go ahead and do whatever all the other things are that you'd like to do. He didn't even really leave us here to build a family, although we're supposed to do some of those things. He didn't leave us here, you know, just to run a church. He left us here to preach the gospel. To go ahead and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and what great things he's done. The good news. Now, we all know the gospel, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he sums it up rather handily that Christ came, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and how God just went ahead and sent a Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, died for our sins. Okay, I'm just going to kind of slide it in here. Is that your focus, or do you have other things that get in the way all the time? And I'm not saying, we work, right? People have jobs, and they have families to take care of, and they have different things. That's not what I asked, all right? I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not saying quit your job and never work another day. Go and you know, that's not what I meant. I meant, is the gospel paramount to you to give somebody that? Or does it seem to always be, oh man, I forgot. Oh man, I missed the opportunity. Do you miss every one of those? Or is there something in there that goes, hey, I gave the gospel to them and I missed that one. But hey, I'll get the next one and you get the next one. I'm not saying we miss, all right? We all miss. We all have the same thing where we're like, man, I didn't have a track. Man, I should have said this. Man, I should. We all have that. If you've been saved for any length of time, you have that. Where you missed giving somebody the gospel. You missed an opportunity. All have it. But boy, I hope they become less and less. Because your focus is, hey, I'm looking for a chance to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Because we didn't come just, he didn't give us the job of going ahead and doing all the other things. He did give us one job, to preach the gospel. Find a chance to tell somebody about Jesus. Find a chance to answer the question. Find a chance to kind of slide him into a conversation. Say, man, I do that, and they get yelling at me, and they get upset about it, and they get, okay, yeah, but the preaching to them is foolishness. That's verse 14, 17, right? Or verse 18, I'm sorry. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, that's the power of God. We recognize that He took our life and changed it into something that is so unbelievably amazing that you and I can, as a sinner, can go ahead and guarantee that we're going to be in heaven for all of eternity. Amen. That's powerful. Yeah. Don't you hear that all the time from religious folks? Well, you can't know. How can you know? And we're like, because the Bible told me I can know. The Bible is a guarantee for me. I've got the guarantees right here. He gave me eternal life. I can't get plucked out of His hand. I can't fall out of His hand. I can't fail. He's got me because He's got it all under control. That's all Him. Right. Salvation's not whether I'm good still or not. Salvation is solely based on His goodness and His mercy and His grace to me. And as we look at those things, we forget that it is the power of God that changes lives. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have Brother Spurgeon in a couple of weeks. You talk about a changed life. And then those of us who got saved at 7, we think we don't have anything to say, but the truth is we have more to say because God kept us from all those things. He kept us from a lot of foolishness. Now, we did plenty of foolishness. We had our own share of foolish. Yeah, but I wasn't as bad as yet. Doesn't matter. You could have been. You could have been. You got saved from just as terrible of a life as anybody else did. Because it's the power of God that changes those things.
Right.
Verse 17, we'll make this comment. Verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then he adds this, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The simplicity that is in Christ.
Right.
You don't have to make it spectacular.
Amen.
It is spectacular. This is the greatest story you could ever find. There's a gospel track that we have out at Christmas every year, and the greatest story ever told. It is the greatest story ever told that God would send His Son to die for my sins, be buried, and rise again the third day to take my place and go ahead and give His life for me. It's the greatest story you could ever find. The world steals it all the time. So it is, the hero looks like he's lost. And all hope is doomed. And then he rises from the ashes, right? Everyone. They all do the same thing. You say, where'd they get that from? They ripped that from Jesus. It's the life of Jesus. Always looking doomed, but always coming out victorious. That's Jesus. Christian, okay, you got the greatest story ever told. Do you tell anybody about it? Say, well, I don't know what to say. I'm real simple on what I can say. That's all he wants. I have heard people, I'm not going to say any names. I've heard people, and they start giving the gospel and they complicate it. So what do you mean they complicate it? They kind of jump around. They don't keep it in order. They shuffle things. They kind of get ahead of themselves or behind them, or they add all these extra things. You know what people don't need to know? They don't need to know exactly what heaven looks like. You don't need to cover all those verses. Heaven's heaven. Say, what if they have a weird concept of heaven? Who cares? You can fix that later. They know heaven is better than hell, right? That's a pretty good answer. All right, heaven, that's where God is. You want to be there. Hell, that's burning in fire and torment. You don't want to be there. Keep it simple. You don't have to be all spectacular. You don't have to know all the prophecies and all the answers. You don't have to be able to do all the crazy weird things in Revelation and Daniel and all the... You don't have to answer those. It's the simplicity of the gospel. In fact, the thing that messes with us is, especially as Bible believers, we are too smart. You're like, what do you mean we're too smart? You've been given a Bible and you've been taught a lot of things, and so you know a bunch of stuff, and so when something simple comes up, you complicate it. They don't need to know what a dispensation is. You probably know what that is. You don't need to tell them that. They don't need to know even that Old Testament got saved different than New Testament. They don't need to know any of that. They need to know Jesus died for them. Don't complicate it. Don't muddy the waters with all the extras. Just keep it simple. Why? Because the wisdom of words makes the cross of Christ of none effect. It can't save them because they can't see it. They get messed up with all the other things. Well, what if they ask me about the other things? I mentioned this on Saturday as well. You get asked a lot of questions if you witness to somebody. They want to know all these weird things. They've heard the weird things of the Bible. Now they want to know if you know the weird things in the Bible. What does the Bible say about dinosaurs? What's the Bible say about aliens? What's the Bible say about... And they just keep asking all these weird questions, right? Okay, don't answer them. If you don't know them, don't answer it. If you do know it, avoid it too. How about that? You can answer those later. We'll get back to that later. Why? Because all that's going to do is complicate things. Because then they're going to argue with your answer because they're not going to like it anyways. Right? What answer out of the Bible is going to make a lost man real happy? Don't let them complicate it. Get it back to them. I had a guy, I mentioned this on Saturday, I think I used it as an illustration, but this guy goes, oh, what about those people in Africa who've never heard the gospel? What's going to happen to them? And my answer was, Lord will sort that out. I hope they would believe in a God because he made everything and the heavens declare that. So hopefully they believe in God, and if they believe in God, they'll do some things, and if not, God will be just no matter how he judges. But the problem is you have heard the gospel. What are you going to do with it? See, it's not about all the other stuff. It's about them. You're dealing with them. Your job is not to just go out there and just, well, whatever, you know, and answer all the weird, crazy questions and all the things. We could talk about, you know, the Nephilims and all the things and the giants and all the, we could do all of it. Let's do it all. We could talk about when Satan fell and all the things. We could do it all. Let's do it after they get saved. And do whatever you want to after they get saved. I had somebody one time, they asked me, they said, there's this guy in a church up in New Hampshire up there, and he, great guy, loves the Lord, he's a witness, but he's one of those intellectual guys, real smart, brainiac guys, and he says to me, hey, you know, they're really trying to take away what God's word said, they're taking away, you know, they've done all these things, and he goes, they made everything heliocentric instead of geocentric. Now, if you don't know what that is, just ignore that, all right? If you do know what that is, I don't care what you think about it. I really don't. I don't even care what this guy thinks about it. But he's writing books about geocentricity and how true it is and biblically, and it's got to be right. And I mostly agree with him that it's probably right. But here's the deal. He asked me this. He said, does somebody have to know that before they get saved? Don't we have to fix that? And I said, no. And then he goes, when do we have to introduce that? Because we got to let somebody know that. And I said, no. He goes, this is foundational. This is Genesis. And I said, no. I was a constant of just no. This poor guy did not like me by the time I was done, I don't think. I think he wanted anything to do with me. I said, brother, you could be right as can be, but that doesn't change a thing. I said, if the earth's the center of the universe or the sun's the center of the universe or Mars is the center of the universe, it doesn't make any difference to us. It's the question of where am I going to go for all of eternity? Well, it changes nothing. That's what it changes, brother. It changes nothing. What changes somebody's life is the power of God. That'd be the gospel. Amen. And letting them know. You say, what about all these other, I mean, biblically, okay, whatever, man. If you're going to do that, you're going to get distracted and you won't do the job. We can do all sorts of those. And I got all sorts of weird verses on all sorts of weird things. But if you spend your entire life trying to figure all those weird things out and never give anybody the gospel, I think you'll stand before God ashamed of what you have not done. And all that you haven't accomplished. And he goes, yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 13. Understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all the, and you have no charity. You don't love anybody enough to tell them that Jesus died for them. There's the trouble. So are you gonna you know, argue all those points? And but no, I don't care. You know what I care about? Whether they're going to heaven or not.
Yeah.
That's our trouble, is we care if we're smarter than people most of the time.
Yeah.
God doesn't care if you're smarter than anybody. He cares if you know how to tell them how Jesus can save them.
Amen.
Don't lose that focus. Don't lose that focus. It may be foolishness to them, but it's the power of God to us. Don't go ahead and get out of the way and say, well, you know, I just don't know what to do, and I don't know what to say, and I'm so, you know. Okay, well, that jumps you to the end of the chapter, right? God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Well, you know, I don't think I'm good enough. I'm not qualified. Are you saved? And you're qualified. That's all he's ever taken. God did not make it a special thing that I'm the only person who can give the gospel.
Right.
It's weird because that's the way the world thinks. Don Moody has brought me more people. I feel bad for him. He's got family members that are like, can I talk to your preacher? Oh, yeah, sure. And all they wanted to hear was hear it from a pastor. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And their answer for the whole thing is, oh, yeah, Don told me that. Oh, yeah, Don told me that. I'm like, okay, what difference does it make if I told you or he told you? In their brain, yeah, sure, maybe there was a little difference for them, but I told them the same thing Don had told them. You know what they do? They pray and ask the Lord to save them. So what's the difference? None. To them, there was something, but to God, there's no difference. Your job is to give the gospel. So what if they want to talk to you? Then we'll set something up. But I'm nobody special. Certainly not. But when you have the opportunity, don't use any of the excuses you'd like to use. You realize God eliminates all of our excuses with Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is amazing to me. We try to make an excuse, right? Throughout the Old Testament, you find all the excuses. They come out, right? Well, you know, the devil made me do it. Right? That's Adam and Eve. It was the woman, and then it was the serpent, and they tricked me, and I failed. And if they wouldn't have done that, okay. Well, let your conscience be your guide. Well, that ends in a flood. We'll establish government. Nope, that'll fail you too. We'll go ahead and give you the Ten Commandments. We'll put them down on literal tables of stone and tell you 10 things you can't do. Or do. Honor thy father and thy mother and keep this. Right? There's some things you're supposed to do and some things you're not. All right? Do's and don'ts right here. Here's 10 of them. That's all you got to do. Can't keep those. Well, yeah, but if God was a man, I could contend with him. I could plead my cause. He doesn't know what I can, you know, he doesn't know what it's like. And so Jesus comes down. He eliminates that last big excuse right there. That's why he tells them in John chapter 15 that they have no cloak for their sin. Nothing to cover it up. The last covering is, man, God is not a man. He doesn't know what it's like to be hungry and thirsty and tempted and tried and all the things. I mean, he's God. Jesus says, okay, I'll set aside my deity and do that. They kill him. He's buried. He rises again. Comes out victorious. He says, okay, that took care of all the lost man's excuses. And now he gets to us. And we go, well, you know, I'm not eloquent of speech, Moses. I just can't talk real good in front of people. And the Lord says, okay, I'll put my word in your mouth and in your heart, and you go ahead and just say what I tell you to say. Now, if you've witnessed to somebody long enough, if you've done that enough times, you know what? You find out you don't even really know some of the things that you were saying. It came out, and you're amazing yourself just a little bit. Like, whoa, I didn't know I even knew that. I was like, yeah, I know it. Stop excusing that you don't know? Well, I don't know enough. Do you know Jesus died for you? He was buried, he rose again? Then you know enough. He says, I'm not a people person. Okay. But Jesus loves sinners. Why don't you ask him if he could help you love sinners? Look onto the fields, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. Okay, maybe you fall in love with some sinners and find out that what's going to happen to them for all of eternity is going to happen to them, and you're the only one who can tell them. That suddenly makes you a people person. You know, Derek was out there on Saturday, and he and I were on the same corner. He was with me, and he said, "You've done this a bunch." It's because I was talking to people about randomness. And just to try and see if I get at least a gospel track in their hand. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, right? I mean, it's always back and forth. There's this one person, they were there, and they had a Wonderfold wagon. Now, if you have not seen one of those, that's the one that Melanie has for the kids. It's like a 4-seat wagon. It's monstrous. And we didn't buy it because they're super expensive, but her dad bought it, so I'm excited. Anything awesome that you didn't have to pay for, amen? And this guy came up, and he had one, and he had three or four kids or whatever, and they were all piled in there, and I was like, those are amazing. He'd already looked at Derek like, get away from me. That was the look I had. He turned to give him a track. It did look good. And I was like, that's amazing. And then we got talking to him. And he's like, oh, yeah, these are great, man, you know. And we got talking about a wagon of all things. And then we got to invite him to church and then give him VBS invites for his kids and then talk to him some more. You say, what are you doing? Just trying to find a way to talk to somebody. Say, what is that? Remove an excuse. Well, I'm not good at talking to people. Okay, the Lord wants you to love sinners. Find a way to talk to them. Somebody was wearing a Yankees hat. Boom, that's immediate. I can handle that. They're carrying a Dallas Cowboys cup. Almost didn't want to witness to them. Almost. But I thought of Brother Dave, and I said, okay, I guess I better, you know, the Lord can do something there. You look at things, and you try to find a way. And the Lord will let him lighten your eyes to do some of those. It's okay. But you make the excuse, and you will never do. We are very good at making an excuse to not talk to somebody, to not give them a track, they look rough, they're terrible and awful people. Okay, you look pretty rough too some days. You look a little like you probably aren't a Christian either. There's some days where you look a little rough, and you know what you ought to do? Push past that and hand them a gospel track and see. Maybe, just maybe, they're not as rough as you think they are. Some of those guys have better moral standards than some others. They just do. This is a whole lot talking about giving the gospel. You know what I find? I find that the gospel still works. I think the biggest problem we have is that Christians don't give it. They try to do everything around it without giving it. I'm all for what I was talking about, trying to find some area to be able to talk to somebody. You go on visitation, you knock on doors, you know what you'll find? You look around the yard and in the windows and hope that you can think of anything and everything in case they want to shut the door in your face so that you can just talk about something so that they realize. One of the reasons I like it is, especially when we're out street preaching, that's the worst. Because it's street preaching, they already think you're weird. Right, you're a Christian, but you're on the weird side because you're preaching on the street. And so I like to talk to them, no matter what, about anything but Jesus at that particular moment, especially if they won't take a track and they won't talk to me about the Lord, I'll talk to them about anything else. Say, why? So they realize we're just people. We're not crazy weirdos. Maybe a little bit, but we're not, right? We're not like, We have interests, we have things, we live an actual normal life. But Jesus is our Savior, and He'd save them. Amen. And just telling them about Jesus, just trying to find a way. But I find that most people, they don't want to talk about Jesus. Saved people don't want to talk about Jesus to a lost world. That's sad. Because that's the one job He gave us. So one thing we're left with is to give the gospel to every creature. Go ahead and talk to everybody. If the Lord gives you an opportunity, I hope you don't miss it. If you do, I hope you ask that He'd forgive you. But I want to end with this, verse number 29. After all those huge things that He says, and it's the foolish things to confound the wise and the weak for the mighty and all the things, right? He says in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I don't care how many times you've gone witnessing and how many times you've put a gospel tract in somebody's hand and how many times you've stepped onto a street corner or knocked on a door or whatever. It will always take Jesus Christ in you. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When you give the gospel, you can't still rely on you. As a preacher, sometimes that's one of the hardest things to do. I've done this for a while. I've done this over and over. I have a pattern that works. I have things that I use all the time as example. I have different things just to give the gospel. I have different ways that I preach in a church. I do all these things. And you know what you can do? You can sit back and go, I've done this plenty of times. I'm all good. But the truth is, without me, you can do nothing. Now, we know the spots, right? The Lord's going to give the increase, and it's up to Him on who gets saved, and it's up to Him on what's going to come in for the harvest. But the truth is, there is no harvest if we don't do anything with it. You aren't going to win anybody if you don't ever try. You're not going to get anybody saved. You're not going to see anybody come to Christ if you don't tell them. And that's the only job He gave us. He talks about us being fishers of men. Well, you don't catch fish if you don't go fishing. I didn't go fishing this week. I didn't catch any fish. It's not surprising. Okay, Christian, not going to catch anybody if you never tell them anything about Jesus. That's the whole point. And you can try for all sorts of things and church directions and try and do all these other things. But what really is going to make a difference in somebody's life is not how awesome you are. It is, do they know the gospel? That Jesus would save them. That's our job. And it's all done through Jesus Christ and His power and His might. That's how He eliminates the last excuse. I'm afraid. Okay, but He's with me. Perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. Well, He loves me. So if He told me to go, I can go. If He told me to speak, I can speak. If He told me, because He's with me, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do it because I've got Him and I'm going to glory in Him. All right, Father, I thank You for the night. I thank You for Your goodness. I pray You would bless us as we go. I thank You, Lord, for the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel we get to share. It is good news. And I pray a lost and dying world would hear it and recognize it, and they would call upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, bless us as we go. Keep us safe. I love You, and I pray You'd come back soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good night. God bless. We'll see you Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.